This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio gets the job done right with help from our trusted contributors at the Ontario College of Trades.
Welcome back. We now turn to your home. Zoomers were asked to nominate trade businesses to be recognized for outstanding work. It's part of our Celebrating the Trades partnership with the Ontario College of Trades. Sam DiPietro of SPD Plumbing was nominated by our listeners for his plumbing work. He's with me now to talk about saving you money by saving water. He is also joined by Tyler Charlebois from the Ontario College of Trades. Gentlemen, welcome. Hi, Sam.
Hello, Libby. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So, Sam, first of all, your reaction to this nomination?
The reaction, first off, was overwhelming. The opportunity to come here and speak is greatly appreciated. And I just want to thank everybody at the show to thank you for having me on here. I'm just going to talk a little bit about saving some money on water, which I think we all have a challenge with, especially with all the rates always going higher and higher.
Okay, let's get right to it. Before we do, let me give the numbers out again, because you're here to answer questions on that. And frankly, on any kind of a plumbing question, the numbers 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. So what do you recommend for people in terms of, how do they know if their appliances are guzzling water and what should they do about it?
Well, I think first off, I find that a lot of things that are basically, I just use the year 10 years. If you have something that's 10 years old, there's probably a good chance that you're paying for that appliance or that plumbing fixture that isn't up to the standards of today, which is much more high efficient, and you can save a lot of money on these fixtures and appliances.
Okay, well, let's talk about a toilet to start.
Sure, let's talk about a toilet. The toilet right now has really come a long way in the last few years. The new toilets now have a stamp, a label that is called the WaterSense toilet. So these toilets, in essence, really just use a lot less water. These toilets have to meet or exceed the flushing performance from the toilets from previous. But the great thing about these toilets is that they're only using 1.3 gallons per flush, which is a lot less from these older toilets.
Do you know how much an older one uses?
So the older ones are about 6 gallons per flush, whereas these are 1.3. Now,
wow.
I know what everybody's thinking, it won't work very good if it's just a little bit of water, but they've been redesigned. They're saving so much money and water. And basically in the household, you're using about 30% of your indoor water use comes from these toilets, okay? And so a lot of the times, I'm just going to say somewhere around between 8 out of 10 times, we'll go to the bathroom and just go like a number one, okay? So you just have a little bit of yellow water. You don't need to use 6 gallons of water that you're paying good money for to flush down the drain. These new toilets have the power to flush anything away, and they are incredibly money-saving.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how much money they can save on an average bill?
Well, on the WaterSense toilets, okay, so the WaterSense toilets use anywhere between 50 to 80% less water. So that's right there a huge savings.
So it's 50 to 80% of 30% of your bill.
Yeah, so to speak. Yes, I guess that's correct. And so you're saving money per flush. And there's also some incentives out there. Some regions have incentives that if you're not going to waste as much water, they're going to say thank you by giving you a little bit of money back. I know in Peel you get $100 back for a mail-in rebate. And in Halton, it's $75 for a mail-in rebate. So I know there's other toilets out there. They're in the box stores. They're about $150 or $160, but they could be problematic down the road. If you were to invest maybe anywhere between $250 to $300 into a toilet and you take your rebate of $75 or $100 off of that price, it's almost a no-brainer. And then you have a superior flushing toilet for the home, and which is very important in today.
Okay, so $250, $300. I think there used to be a rebate in Toronto, but you were saying that's not on anymore.
No, unfortunately, Toronto had one previous, but they have removed the WaterSense rebate toilet for that. But there are other programs for sump pumps and backflow preventers and things like that that you can apply for to get some money back, but not in the toilet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you were talking about the rebates and the cost of the toilet. There are other appliances, though, that consume water. I don't know if appliance is the right word. So your shower head.
Right. So the shower head or any faucet, anything that's consuming a lot, anything that's spewing out water these days have a WaterSense label. So, for instance, a shower head, a previous older shower head, if it's a little bit older, is going to use up anywhere between 2.5 gallons per minute. The new WaterSense shower heads will use less than 2 gallons a minute, and they're very easy to change on your own. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, any plumbing project that you have in your house, it's probably best to have a licensed plumber do the work for you, or at the very minimum, just pick his brain and ask him, what do you think and stuff? I mean, most reputable companies will give you a free quote, and you get a licensed tradesman in there to ask him a few questions. Everybody's got questions, and sometimes we can get these questions answered, and we can make decisions upon those answers, and then we can find out what works best.
If, say, you decide to change your toilet, what would the installation cost?
So the removal of a toilet and installation of a toilet is anywhere between $150 to $190. And now what that includes is includes a new gasket, a new supply line, a new toilet bolts underneath, and it's being installed by a licensed plumber who knows what he's doing. Now, I know there's other people who said, oh, you know, they've changed one or two toilets, and they work. They don't leak and stuff, but there's also that possibility down the road on the fourth or fifth one. I couldn't tell you how many toilets I've put in so many years, but it's best to change a toilet, and then you're saving the money right from the beginning, mm-hmm. right from day one.
Now, when it comes to those shower heads, I have one of those, what are they called, rainwater shower heads?
So a rain head.
A rain head. Do they use more or less water or the same?
So, Libby, if it's a little bit newer, your rain head is probably going to use less than 2 gallons per minute.
It's probably like maybe 7 years old.
So it's probably on the cusp, okay? So, you know, one of those things, if it's near that time, having a quicker shower, doing some of these smaller things to save you money is very important with all this fresh water that we have. Like, I can't believe that it took them actually this long in the last decade to come up with these WaterSense toilets. We've been flushing water down the drain or having long showers and not just really taken for granted the fresh water that we have, drinkable, potable water that we have that we just use briefly and throw down the drain.
Would those shower heads have been improved in the last 7 years, or are they still good?
Absolutely. I think the new shower heads right now have become more efficient, just like the toilets have.
In how long? In the last how many years?
I would say in the last decade. Okay. So in the last decade, I always use 10 years. I mean, if you have a toilet that's 10 years old, it's probably best to probably get rid of it, make a small investment on a new toilet, and you're going to start saving some money. The just going back to the toilet, if you installed a WaterSense toilet, you'd be saving anywhere between 50 to 80% of your water. What that accumulates to on an average home at the end of the year is anywhere between hundreds and hundreds of gallons of water that you would be saving. So the rebate after the first year would pretty much pay for that toilet. And then because it's a good flushing toilet, it's going to pay for itself after year one. That's basically what it is. And the other flip side of that is not changing the toilet. Having an older toilet that doesn't flush very good And I always say that the powder room or the first floor toilet is the most important toilet, because that's the toilet that your guests are going to use. And how embarrassing is that when it's not flushing very good, or you come out of the room and you say, "Hi, sorry, I plugged your toilet." That's
very embarrassing situation. That's really bad. definitely don't want that. Now, I noticed, is this a feature in just some of the newer toilets where they kind of have the button is divided in half and there's a smaller button and a bigger button so you can choose?
Pretty neat idea, yeah. I will say. The first time I saw them, the 1-2 button. I personally am really not a fan of the 1 or 2 button, because the less expensive toilets are going to give you these 1 and 2 flushes. If you got into, say, a Kohler toilet, you've got a lever toilet on this, a lever handle for your toilet. So if you went number 1 or number 2, you just trip that lever once. It's only going to use less than 1.3 gallons, and it doesn't matter what it's in there. So my argument is, why use more water for the other one? Because the toilet isn't equipped for that. So a lot of these less expensive toilets come with these, I don't really want to use the word gimmick. I mean, they do work if you use the more water. But again, if you get into a Kohler toilet that's anywhere between $250 to $300 with the rebate coming back, to me, it's a money-saving thing. It's a superior flusher, and you won't have any problems or embarrassing problems at any party.
Okay, yeah, let's take a call from Bob in Etobicoke. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
My view is, I still have a standard, I think it's about a 6-gallon toilet, and I live in Toronto. And in Toronto, it's a little different than other areas, because we do not have a water shortage problem. For every gallon of water we take out of Lake Ontario, we put it back in through the system. And the more water that is put through, the easier it is for the filtration plants to get everything out of it. So if you have it highly concentrated, it's very hard to get it out. So, yes, for the individual, you pay your water bill. But I do not have a water-saving toilet or a water-saving showerhead, because we're in Toronto, and we are not short of water. If Lake Ontario was to run dry, maybe we would have a problem. But as far as I can see, it is nice to have lots of water on the showerhead, lots of water for the bathtub, lots of water to flush the toilet. Those ones that use the 6 gallons like I have, they work far superior than any of the new ones. And I've seen a lot of the new ones. My house in Duberville has those new ones, limited flush. They are not near as good, and they're a bit of a pain in the neck. But as far as if you're living in Toronto, I think that anybody that buys them is actually, maybe they're saving some water bill. But is it worth the convenience and the inconvenience?
Okay. Okay, Bob, thanks. We will let Sam the plumber respond before we take a break.
So my response to that is, some people think that these low water-saving toilets don't flush as good as the older ones, as Bob just explained right now. But when we really look at things outside of the box, do we really want to use this abundance of water that we have, that we graciously have in Toronto, just to use and flush down the drain?
It's
and
a conservation issue for sure.
It's absolutely a conservation issue. And, you know, maybe today it's fine, but what about next week? What about next year? What about 10 years from now? What about our kids that need this water? I mean, should we be using more than we need to? I mean, what? These WaterSense toilets, they're going to give you the same, equal, or exceed the either flushing power or the power of the shower head for the water that you need. I mean, unless you really need that water blasting off your body. I mean,
that can be nice sometimes.
Sometimes, but not every day.
Okay.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. I am here with our partners from the Ontario College of Trades. We're talking plumbing, and we're here with Sam the Plumber, who was nominated by our listeners for his outstanding work. We've been talking a lot about water-saving toilets, but we're going to shift gears just a little bit now, and we're going to talk about sump pumps, and that in the light of all the rain and all the flooding that we have had this season, and a lot of people are having those installed. The numbers to call, 416-360-0740, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. And Sam, I guess you've installed a lot of sump pumps this season.
Sure have, yes. This season has been unbelievable, the amount of water that we've had. I think from my recollection here, between March 1st and I think June 1st, we had somewhere around 247 millimeters of rain. We've had so much rain this season. It's been incredible. We had a few calls for sump pumps that that died or weren't working efficiently, and we had to get to there before the basement would flood. But not every house has a sump pump, and if you do have one, it's good to stay on top of it and make sure it's functioning properly.
Mm-hmm. And again, if your sump pump is of a certain age, is that a particular reason for caution?
Well, myself, I like to install the manufacturer Liberty sump pumps. They make very good pumps, and they have one of the highest warranties out there, which is a 3-year warranty front to back for this pump to function for you. So keeping that in mind, that you've got a warranty of 3 years, and say you've got a sump pump, again, I'll use the 10-year thing. I mean, if you've got a finished basement and your pump is 10 years and it's served you well, you probably don't want to max it out. You might want to switch it out. It's been 10 years. It's served you well. It's probably all rotted and stuff down there and stuff and still working. But changing the sump pump will give you that peace of mind that it's going to pump the water out from underneath the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say, when you're getting, you know, looking at your sump pump, is making sure, the other peace of mind is making sure that you're using a certified plumber to install that sump pump, not just anyone that you might have seen on some social media that says that they can install it for you for a quick, you know, for a quick buck. Getting a certified a plumber is also important to make sure you have that peace of mind that it's installed right and it's going to operate when you need it to operate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know some people might think, what is the right way to install the sump pump? But Tyler is completely right here. And thanks for reminding me on that we should tell the listeners to have a certified plumber or somebody who's licensed to do that. My problem that I found from other people, we'll call them other people that have installed sump pumps, if you have a pit, I've seen them drop that pump right to the bottom of the pit. So any trickle of water comes into that pit, the pump turns on. And it starts to fire. So you're paying for that every time it turns on. Whereas what I do is I put either a brick or something, a couple of bricks. I find the elevation of the water table around the house. And then what I do is I get it to fire when it's about 12 inches from the surface. So the sump pump in the pit should have water in it. And let it just sit there. The water can stay inside of there. But once it starts to rise, that's when it should turn on. So it should turn on when it's raining outside, but not every day on a sunny day. A little bit of water comes in from your neighbor's side, and then you're paying for it to eject it out of the house.
So basically, who might need one? Is it if you've had a problem with water, then you know you should get one of these, or what?
Okay, so really quickly, a couple of things. It depends on your area, okay? So we've busted up concrete in a basement of a house to run some new plumbing drains, and we've come back the next morning, and all the water is filled underneath in our trenches because the water table is very close to the underside of this house. So some houses have it, some don't. But we're doing a lot of custom homes, and every home that we do, we put a sump pump in there. Okay, so we're not going to play around and maybe there's water in there. We're going to put a sump pump in there. If there is a deluge of water at some point and it does fill up the weepers around the house, it's going to exit. Water finds its own level all the time. It's going to fall into that pit, and that's where the power is, and it's going to eject that water.
Okay, let's go to Joan in Oshawa. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Libby. How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you. The reason why I'm calling is we've been in our residence over 5 years, and we have a sump pump. Now, the darn thing has been pumping at full maximum capacity the last several weeks. I'm wondering if we should get another sump pump for backup. I don't know how long the sump pump has been here before we moved here.
Well, Joan, that's a very good question. I mean, we'll call the backup as you have a sump pump, which is the primary pump, and then having a backup, which would never get used unless the primary pump didn't kick in, you'd have a backup pump to eject the water. So if your sump pump is 5 years old, it's probably – the warranty's probably gone, and it might be something that you might want to look into to put a proper sump pump in. But if you say that it's been – turning on actively the last couple of weeks. I know we have had some rain and stuff, but there could be, Joan, you could have that issue. You just have to take a look. If that sump pump is sitting at the bottom of the pit, that's where all the dirt and the granulars and rocks could get stuck in the impeller of the pit. That's why you want to elevate, put a couple of bricks down and elevate the pump about 8 to 12 inches off the bottom of the pit and leave the water in there. And then when it does rain and it starts to put some more water into it, that's what the only time it'll turn on and cost you money when it turns on. So having said that, there is other there are other pumps out there that you could look into as a backup pump. There's the battery backup pump. There's also another popular one that I like to use, which is made by Liberty, and it's called an SJ10. It doesn't run on battery or hydro. Okay, it runs on water. So it's not very efficient that it runs on water. You're using water to eject water, but it's supposed to get you by for that 1 or 2 or 6 hours while the power is gone that you're going to use some water. Again, if the pump is at the proper elevation, it's only going to turn on once it gets close
right.
to the top.
Because we don't know how long the pump has been here.
Is there any way to tell how old the pump is?
Yeah, you can send me a picture and I could look at it. I mean, sometimes...
Right. So, yeah, because as I said, we've been here over 5 years.
Right.
And the pump was here when we moved here.
So I know there's two different styles of pumps when it comes to sump pumps. There are the long stick handle that you could buy at the box stores and things like that, that the motor is exposed out of the water and just the impeller is in the water. It's a little bit noisy, and I find they're very inexpensive and they don't last forever, although I have pulled some out that I guess didn't have very many kilometers on it, and it still worked. But there's also the other type that is a submersible pump. You just drop the whole thing in the water, motor and all, and it's underwater, and it'll suck the water out and shoot it out for you.
Right, and you mentioned about the pump that, it works on battery as well as hydro?
Right. So Liberty, again, that manufacturer, makes a wide variety. And I just came from a trade show just last week where Liberty has even upped it even more for their competition. They have a wireless technology that's on there. Like, you can go away and it'll be on your phone to say if the power has been cut out to your house. It'll tell you if there's a lot of rain coming in. I mean, there's some really sophisticated systems out there that don't rely on hydro to eject this water.
And how much would that cost approximately?
So a backup, so let's take, for instance, the SJ10 that uses some water. So the installation of that unit and piping over some water, you need a couple of things that we need is a 3/4 water line. If it's in the mechanical room, it's no problem. But something around that price would bring you anywhere between $300 to $500.
Okay, Joan, thanks for your call. We'll try to take one more from Pat in Georgetown. Hi, Pat. We have very little time left.
Okay, so I don't have a sump pump. I have a side split. And a couple of years ago, somebody pointed out to me that the side of my house, all kinds of water would go down because the grading in my house went to the house. So I had a new patio built, and we closed it off. Now I'm wondering, because the people over across the street have just dug out 9 feet down because, you know, things started to flood. If I don't have a sump pump, do I have those tiles down there? And did I make a mistake by filling in that crack beside the house that would have taken all the water where I never did have a problem?
Okay, we're just going to let Sam the plumber respond quickly. Thanks for your call.
Okay, so really quickly, fixing the crack on the side of your house and fixing the easement and building a patio and trying to slope the water away from your house is the best thing that you could do, absolutely. If you've never had a sump pump in that house, chances are you don't need one at this time. It's something that you could put into a house, but it's very intrusive into the basement. There's a little bit of busting of concrete, a lot of dust and things like that. But you just have to take a look and make sure that no water is coming into the house, and it's very important to maintain that.
Okay. We're just about out of time. Sam DiPietro, Sam the plumber.
Thank you
very much. Any one thing you want to leave us with?
Well, I just want to say thank you again to Zoomer Radio and to Tyler from the College of Trades right beside me here. I just want to say thanks to everybody out there listening about my small little business that I have my sons working with me, and it's a great thing, and we just try to give people a little bit of awareness out there. Call a licensed plumber. Most companies are going to give you a free quote, a local free quote, and then that'll be good.
Okay. Thank you so much, and thanks to the Ontario College of Trades.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.